Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We rejoice in today that you, the Lord God, has made. We declare today a day of encounter with you, a day of victory, and Lord, a day of envisioning. Lord, a day that our lives will be transformed for the better. A day, O Lord, that we experience your power and your glory, such that our lives will never be the same again, in Jesus' name. Father, by the reason of your word this morning, instruct us, build us up, O Lord. Form and forge a future for us, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, level every mountain and let every valley be filled up this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your people be encouraged and let there be a high spirit in the house. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Once again, we are welcome to the presence of the Almighty God. And as I've said over and over again, I believe one of the main reasons, or actually the main reason we come to church, is to be able to hear and share the word of God. And behind that, I believe, is that we all believe in the efficacy and in the power that is in the word. And my prayer for you this morning is that the word will work for you in Jesus' name. I say the word will work for you in Jesus' name. When you meet life challenges, when you are faced with situations, and you call upon the name of the Lord, he will answer you in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, I want to share with us on a message that is titled Godly Leadership and Premise for Victory. Godly Leadership and Premise for Victory. Why don't we open our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians? Second Chronicles. Chapter 13. I'm going to read from verse 1 to 20. 2 Chronicles 13. I'm going to read verses 1 to 20. I want us to be attentive and just take in the story. Let's take in the story. That is where God wants to encourage us this morning. Encourage us from this morning. 2 Chronicles 13. I will start from verse 1. Now, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Michal, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with 800,000 chosen men, being mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemarim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, "Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon the son of David, is risen up and had rebelled against his Lord. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in God's? Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nation of them that are no gods? But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their businesses. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. The showbread also set day in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof, to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, yet ye have forsaken him. And behold, God himself is with us for our captain, and his priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they rely upon the Lord God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshana with the towns thereof, and Ephraim with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord struck him, and he died. Your story will be the story of victory this month in Jesus' name. Godly leadership and premise for victory. That's what we're talking about. In the last week or so, there have been a lot of discussions, particularly in relation to the political situation in Australia. And in a lot of Christian circles, people have been asking questions. And I have been asked questions too. And in the last radio interview I did, the question they asked mostly was about the leadership of this nation. Particularly, as many of us know, that the Prime Minister came out and said that she does not believe in God. even though she said that she cut her teeth in the church. She won in the Baptist church. She won many prizes in the church, reciting the Bible and having Bible knowledge. But she then said, but now she no longer thinks that way anymore, that her ideas have changed about life. And one of the questions I got asked is that, shouldn't the church be separate from government? And one of the things I remember I told them is that God is very much interested in who becomes a leader in every nation. You will agree with me that even in the Bible, during the journey of the children of Israel, and even when they got to the promised land, God has picked out kings who were not necessarily kings of Israel or of the land of Israel. Kings that have done well for whatever reason, and God will pick them out and choose to enlarge their coast and bless them. I'm sure we remember that, don't we? Syria was one. Naaman did exploit, and the Bible said God did exploit through his hand for the king of Syria. They were not Israelites, yet God picked them out. In other words, who is leading a country or who is leading a people is very important to God. That's why God tells us to pray for kings and for rulers. And of course, for all people. He said, so that we may be able to serve God in peace. Who leads a nation is so important because they set the tone. Particularly in this era of hero worship, they set the tone and the agenda for the nation. Leaders are very powerful when it comes to influencing people and directing or forging or initiating the direction in which the nation is going to go. So God is very, very interested in who leads. The Bible makes me to understand that when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. And of course, when the wicked reigns, it means that the people will not rejoice. They will be in agony. It then goes on to say, if a nation wants to lose its joy, they should allow the wicked to reign over them. So for those of us who are children of God, if we want to walk around and with an air of unconcern, we can see from the word of God that we cannot afford that. We have to be concerned about who is ruling us at this time. Yet God says in Romans chapter 13 that there is no power or authority that is not instituted by God. And you wonder, why would God allow somebody who is ungodly to come to the throne? My personal belief is that this is a wake-up call to all children of God. When other people are beginning to take your place, when they are beginning to occupy the seats that children of God ought to be occupying, I think it is a wake-up call. So in other words, if we want things to change, we will have to start to begin to influence things from the spiritual realm and even at the physical realm too. By the grace of God, God has led me to the passage that we read this morning to illustrate to us what can happen when the godly rules. We just read the story of Jeroboam. Of course, we know his story very well, don't we? Jeroboam was the king that was called to rule Israel after Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king, right? And the young man, you remember what happened to him? He was power drunk. And the children of Israel came to him and said, "We have been oppressed. Can you please lighten our yoke?" The elders of the land gave him counsel. That's Rehoboam. They gave him counsel. And told him to say to the people of Israel that he will serve them. He left the elders and went to the youths. And the youth told him, I can't quote exactly what they said, but they said, my little finger is thicker than whatever. My father whip you with scorpion. And of course, the kingdom got torn. And you remember we've spoken about Jeroboam before. And God promised him he was going to give him 10 of the tribes to rule over. And he got 10 of the tribes to rule over. And when problem came, so you remember, he then started worshipping idol instead of going back to the God who made promise to him. And of course, the house of David started ruling over Judah and Ephraim, if I remember correctly. Then war broke out between them. If you read very well, even while Rehoboam was still living, there was always war between the two. So in other words, we had two brothers that were always fighting. The same people, always fighting. And then, when Rehoboam died, Abijah, his son, took over. And then war broke out as usual. The Bible didn't tell us what exactly caused the war, why they had to go fighting. But when you read your Bible very well, you'll find out that there were times when these people of God will go and employ or get the support of other people to help fight against their brother. They'll get Egyptians, Assyrians, and all sort of people to come and fight their brother. Yet, they know that they are people of promise. Sometimes, and I've asked myself, why would this be? These are the people of promise. Why would they start to fight? And one thing I want to let you know is this. As long as you have the presence of God with you, as long as you have the call of God upon your life, the enemy will keep knocking. He will want to see how you stand. And in the process, if you are not standing right, he takes away what rightly belongs to you. So, Abijah got his troop, 400,000 people. And Jeroboam got his troop, 800,000, double of what Abijah had. And I'm trying to look at the response of these two leaders in the face of adversity. And if you start to look down, from verse 8 of where we read, Abijah started to speak and to talk about what he knew or what was happening. And he said, "And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David, and ye be a great multitude." Okay, I think I'll take it there. "And ye be a great multitude, and there are with you golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods." "Have ye not cast out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and have made you priests after the manner of the nations of other lands?" In the day of adversity, Jeroboam was doing exactly what he knew best how to do. Jeroboam was relying on the source of his power, as far as he was concerned, and he was leaning on his own understanding. That is what Abijah just pointed out. And in verse 10, Abijah contrasted himself with Jeroboam. And he says, "But as for us, the Lord is our God." One of the most important lessons that I've learned from reading some of these stories is this: is that you may have two people that call upon the name of God, or two people that are called by the name of God. One may call upon God and God will answer. The other one may call on God and God may not answer. Why? God will answer the man that makes God his God. God will not answer the man that makes God his God in name only. He will answer the one that makes him God truly by depending on him and putting his trust in him. As children of the Most High God, why do we shift focus? Why do we shift focus? Last week, one of the things, I shared with us, I think we spoke about the path of faith from promise to performance. And we said that the crux of the matter is what happened from the time you are promised to the time God does something in your life. But what do happen is that we do shift focus from God, the one that makes God his God. We trust in God in the days of adversity. He will also trust in God in the day that everything is well with him. Instead of diminishing, he will be increasing in the knowledge of God. If you look at one of the banners here, the Deuteronomy 4, verse 2, it says, "You shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish it." It is not a question of just the number of words that are there. We diminish the word of God when we don't trust in God. When we make light of the things that God said to us, and we refuse to trust in him, we diminish the word of God. But Abijah said to Jeroboam, he said, "For we have made God our God." Some people make public opinion their God. One of the things that became clear to me is this. I don't intend to be political, but I will say this here. When public opinion was no longer favorable, and when it was thought that disposing of Kevin Rudd will excite the people, he was dumped. And of course, when it was thought that disposing of God will excite the people and bring popularity, somebody came out openly to denounce God. And as I've said before, a lot of great people and great nations have their foundation in God. Australia is not an exception. Australia has its foundation in God. The Great South Land of the Holy Spirit, is that not what it's called? Praise the Lord. And we know that many powerful ministers, if you've read God's generals, one of the most powerful ministers of God came from where? From Australia. Is it time to abandon him? God. Is it the time to abandon him? And it has implications for us as individuals. Whether we are going to choose to make God our God in all circumstances, or whether we are going to renounce God when it is well with us. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, if you read down in verse 18, that's where it says he's giving you power to make wealth. But before he got there and said he gave you power to make wealth, do you remember what God said? He said, when you get to the land and you build houses and you have this and you have children and everything is well with you, he said, remember that the Lord is God. He gave you power to make wealth. He said, as for us, the Lord is our God. As for you, who is your God at this time? David declared, and that word is still true. He said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. Abijah went on to say, as if to reassure himself, he said, and we have not forsaken him. He said, and we have not forsaken him. The Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. Are we going to be able to stand and be counted even at this time, when it does not seem popular to believe in God? Let me tell you something that you need to know and begin to thank God for. The people that shape history, the people that make history, the people that design how things will go in life, they are often much, much fewer than the people that change the course of history. Am I right or wrong? What am I saying? In every setup, only a few people make things happen. Only a few people make things happen. Look at any setup that you know of. Every setup that will depend on the whole population to make things work, that setup will never work. It takes a few people of vision. There is a passage that one of my brothers here loves so much. He said, of the sons of Issachar, which are men that have understanding of the time. He chose how many? I think 200. About 200. While they were choosing thousands of people from the other tribes to go to war. Of that family, how many were choosing? I think there were just about 200 men. Because they did what? They had understanding of the time. We may not be many, but I want to tell you that you are the people who have understanding of the time. 95% and above, I've not done any research, but I can tell you 95% and above of the people just follow. In every gathering, more than 95% of people do what? They just follow. They listen to what is being said. They look at what is the most popular opinion. But the people who have understanding of the time, they are usually very few. And they are the people who change and fashion the course of history. You will change the course of history for good in Jesus' name. Your life we count in the mighty name of Jesus. He said, we have not forsaken him. You and I cannot at this time forsake God. In fact, this is the time for us to redouble our efforts. This is the time for us to begin to speak to people about God. You know the true thing about the whole thing is that if we say that it is not popular, and I'm not going to talk about him because it's easier to keep quiet, do you know what? Other people will talk about him. It took Prophet Elijah. It gave him a very hard lesson. When he came to a point and said, you know what? Lord, I am the only prophet that is left for you. And God told him, he said, shut up. Shut up. 7,000 prophets who have never bowed their knees to Baal in this land. There are people who will stand for God, and you will stand for God in Jesus' name, because there is victory when you stand for God. There is victory when you stand for God. There is disfavor when you don't stand for God. If you look at 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." In other words, after he felt comfortable, we will not be people who will feel comfortable and forsake God in Jesus' name. So following God is not the way of multitude. And even following him properly, it's not the way of multitude. That is, I think, one of the mistakes that Christians make, to think that if we are serving God properly, that the multitude should join us. And he said, narrow is the way. The narrow road does not contain many people. It cannot. Some people will fall by the side. That's why it's narrow. Straight it is the way that leads to salvation. He goes on to say, still in verse 10, he says, "And we have not forsaken him, and the priests which minister unto the Lord are the sons of Aaron, and the Levites wait upon their business." In other words, as for you, Jeroboam, you pull down every structure that God has put in place. In place of that, you have appointed men to offer sacrifices to other gods. But for us, we have retained the instruction of God. In other words, when it is no longer fashionable to live life according to the dictates of the Word of God, we have chosen to continue in the way that the Lord has set out for us. We have not pulled down the prophet, we have not killed them, we have reinstated them, and they go about their business. In other words, our priests are those that have been ordained and appointed of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 41, Jesus said, "If you honor a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. And if you honor a righteous man, you receive a righteous man's reward." Abijah positioned himself for double blessings, because he honored God in his heart and he honored the prophets of God. You are positioned for double blessings this morning in Jesus' name. In verse 11, Abijah said, "And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and sweet incense." What is he saying there? He's telling Jeroboam, he said, "We are worshippers. We worship the Lord. In the morning we are worshipping him. In the evening we are worshipping him. Our sacrifice is proceeding to him. We are worshippers. Tell me a man that wants to be victorious in his life, he has to be a worshipper. Your breakthrough is tied to your ability to worship God." Did somebody hear that? Oh, yes. "I've told you, when I've prayed, and I have not received answer, and I can just go beyond my emotion and my feeling and I start to sing praise to God, instead of dwelling and acknowledging the difficult situation, if I can just start to praise God and glorify Him, I can tell you victory is on the way. He said, as for us, incense is being burnt unto the Lord morning and evening. We are worshippers. You are a worshipper. The Lord will hear you. Do you know the reason why? In Psalm 50 verse 23, the Bible says, whoso offered praise glorified me. And to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. In other words, when you are living right and you are offering praise to the Lord, you are glorifying Him. And when you glorify God, what happens? The glory of God comes down where you are, and the victory of God comes into your life. The victory of God comes into that situation. Because whoever offers praise glorifies God. And of course, God will not leave His throne and forget the hosts. Wherever He goes, the host of heaven, they are in attendance. That is why in somebody's life today, the host of heaven will be in attendance in Jesus' name. Every areas of difficulties, in those places where you are intending to give up, because the host of heaven will appear. The one that is able to make highways in the wilderness will make a way for you in Jesus' name. We are worshippers. And if we are worshippers, we have an assurance that God that dwells and inhabits the praise of His people is in our midst. He said, the showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold with the lamps thereof to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but ye have forsaken Him. In other words, we are not just worshippers, we are obedient. We keep the charge of the Lord our God. Godly leaders keep charge of the Lord. Let me tell you something. You may not see yourself as a leader, but I will tell you this morning, you are a leader. Do you know why? This is because the people are forsaking God, and you are leading people to know that God should not be forsaken. You are leading people to know to come back to God. You have a responsibility in this land. I've been telling us before, and I've said it over and over again, God has not brought you here so that you will eat burger and Kentucky fried chicken. That is not the reason why God has brought us here. He has brought you here so that you can affect and change things around you. He has a bigger purpose for you. He said, we are obedient. We are obedient to His word. For us to be obedient to the word of God, we need to derive our confidence from His word. And I'm telling us, when we become obedient to the word, when we derive our confidence from the word, we will not be ashamed to proclaim His word. We will not be ashamed to proclaim His word. We will not be ashamed to talk to somebody about the word of God. If you look at Psalm 119, verse 126 to 128, I want us to look at it. He says, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. He's calling on God. He said, it is time for you, God, to intervene. And God will intervene in this land in Jesus' name. It is time for thee, Lord, to walk, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandment above gold. Yeah, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem. This is the part I want us to take note of, verse 128. Therefore, I esteem how many of thy precepts? How many? Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning how many things? Concerning all things. I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. In other words, your word concerning my finances is right. Your word concerning my health is right. Your word concerning my marriage is right. Your word concerning my promotion is right. Your word concerning my going out is right. Your word concerning my coming in is right. Your word concerning, you know, my utterances is right. Your word concerning everything about me is what? Is right. I esteem your word in every of my circumstance. Whether there is warfare, whether things are topsy-turvy in my life, I esteem your word. Whether it looks like things are working out for me or not, I still esteem your word. Do you know that some people, when they comes against the throes of life, when they come against, you know, the storms of life, they start not to esteem the word of God anymore. But the psalmist said, I'm different. He said, all thy words, they are right. Even when I passionately need that thing, your word is still right if it says that I should not have it. I've shared with us before how I said to a brother, I said, but you know what the word of God says? He said, yes, I know the word of God, but this is the way I want to do mine. This is the way I want to do it. This is the way. But the psalmist is different. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, concerning all things, concerning my home, concerning my life, concerning my health, concerning my salvation. I esteem your word to be right. In other words, making choices in life is not as difficult as we often make it. The psalmist is saying it's not as difficult as we often make it. You see, a whole lot of times a matter is brought before us, we say this, we say no. Consult the word of God. What does it say? Whatever it says on that matter is the right thing. Praise the Lord. Let's not make something that is not difficult difficult. That's what the psalmist is saying. I count your word, your precept, to be right in all things. We are obedient. We can only be confident in the word of God when we start to esteem the word of God. And he goes on to say, for the Lord is with us. In other words, we carry the presence of God. We carry the presence of the Holy Spirit. He says, he is our captain. He said, he is our captain. That's what Abijah said. He said, he is our captain. Because the Lord is with us. He is our captain. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 19 and 20. Ezekiel 38, 19 and 20. He says, for in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel. Take note of verse 20. So that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountain shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Praise the Lord. He said he is our captain. In other words, the Lord is with us. And the Bible makes us to understand God is saying that in his presence, when he is present, the walls will begin to fall down. The mountains will be flattened. Every problem will be solved. Every obstacle in your way will be brought down. Why can you not have God in your life? Abijah said, he's our captain. The presence of the Lord commands authority. His presence commands victory, because mountains crumble before him. If you go in your own name, if you go by yourself, mountains cannot fall at your presence. And do you know what? One thing I know is this. With man, as one mountain is level, another one rises. Even King David, that was a giant killer. What happened? The Bible records that a time came in his life, giants were coming after giants, and his strength failed him, and the people had to say, please, it's time for you to retire, so that the star of Israel will not be dimmed. No matter how crafty you may be, your strength can fail you. Did we learn that last week? Maybe we've forgotten. Let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 96. We read last week, if you've forgotten. It says, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. And somebody read from the New Living Translation. He said, I've seen perfection and its best, but your word has no end in itself. It's beyond every perfection, everything that man can design, every solution that man can bring to bear. The Lord's presence will go with you this month in Jesus' name. And he went on in verse 12 to say, we call upon the name of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, God was giving instruction to Moses, or he was talking about, you know, when the name of the Lord is mentioned, the mentioning of his name proclaims his goodness. He brings his goodness to bear in a situation. And he quickly and sweetly warned him. He told Jeroboam, he said, Kick not against God. Just because other people are doing it, we cannot leave our estate. We cannot live the way that we know that has always worked for us. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Can somebody say that? As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And it will be so in Jesus' name. Whether it is popular, whether it is unpopular, we will still serve the Lord. But lastly, I want us to look at something where we read. I know that time is far spent, but let's quickly look at something in verse 13 of 2 Chronicles chapter 13. He says, but Jeroboam, listen to this very well, but Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. So in other words, Jeroboam divided the troop into two. Remember, he had 800,000 men. He divided them, I would think, into two. 400,000 behind Judah. They had only 400,000 men. 400,000 in front while they were discussing. And the people of Judah did not know that they were already surrounded by the children of Israel. And if we read further, and it says, and when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. In other words, when he looked around him, he found out that he was surrounded by the enemy. That's why I prayed for you at the beginning of the sermon. I said, when you cry to him, the Lord will hear you. I said, when you cry to him, the Lord will hear you. He looked around and it looks like there was no way out. And he had already made his boast in the Lord. And he said, as for us, the Lord of hosts is our captain. And when the problem came, he looked around and he was surrounded. And he cried unto the Lord and he ordered the priest to sound the trumpets. And the rest is history. You read it. And the lesson for me is this. Anyone who, I mean, we don't have to be geniuses. We don't have to be General Patria to know that that was a very sound and a very good war tactics. That was a very robust war tactics. This man put all his troops together and the other one divided his troops to come from different directions. That was a very good war tactics, isn't it? But what happened? When the people cry to God, when they cry to God, because they had made the Lord their strength, because they have made the Lord their refuge, the Lord arose for their sake. Every plan that you make that does not have God at the center of it can fail. The plan of Jeroboam did not have God at the center of it. That was why it failed. Because the plan of Abijah had God in it, it was a success. Your plan will be a success in Jesus' name. When people are giving testimonies of failure, remember I told you when I started this sermon, I also told you, I said, two people who claim to be children of God can cry to God. God will answer one and he will not answer the other. The condition of the heart is important. That is why God is going to answer you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the reason many people will give you for living, for not worshiping God, for not going to church, is that they say their prayers are not being answered. If you are King Jeroboam, your prayer will not be answered. But if you are Abijah, your prayer will be answered. God will answer your prayer in Jesus' name. Don't let the rumors and the evil report discourage you. Because those who stick to God, he said, why, if you are with me, I will be with you. Those who stick to God, God will show himself faithful in their lives. We talked about the testimony that was shared. Those who are still doing it, praying and fasting, they are getting results. You will get results in Jesus' name. You will get results on your children in the mighty name of Jesus. You will get results on your home in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything you commit to the hand of God, God will create there to be a difference between you and the heathen in Jesus' name. God will cause there to be a difference between you and the people who don't serve him faithfully in the mighty name of Jesus. You may be under the same umbrella. You may be living in the same house. You may be sharing the same thing. But because you serve him faithfully, he will make the difference in your life in Jesus' name. Both of them, they were children of Israel, divided. But what made the difference is their attitude toward God. Your attitude toward God will distinguish you. In Jesus' name, can we rise up on our feet and let us pray. as you know, you realize that, I mean, many months have passed. I mean, there are very few months that I focus on. And I say, let's pray. In keeping and in line with the word of God that has come again, I want us to pray. And you are going to lift up this month of July unto the Lord and say, in your life, that God will make a difference this month in Jesus' name. It will be a month of your victory. Even like the children of Judah were victorious, you are going to be victorious this month in the mighty name of Jesus. Can we just pray? Because we have heard the word of God. He's able to do. He's the Lord. He is our God. He is our captain. He's the one we look unto. He fights our battles. He will fight your battle this month. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Thank you because they are powerful. Yeah, they are true. All your words, they are true. Concerning my situation, even as they have been spoken, they are true. They can bring me victory. They can wrought wonders and miracles in my life. I receive of your word this morning. Oh yes, from the youngest to the oldest in this church this morning, I say receive of the word of the Lord. You are planted in that word. It's going to water you today. Therefore, you will not lack again. Therefore, you will not despair again. Therefore, you will not be confounded. Therefore, you will not be confused. Therefore, you will not lose any battle this month in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.